This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings. Welcome to our lesson today. We're glad you've tuned us in. I do trust the program encourages you and blesses you, and I hope that perhaps some of you it may challenge you, because this program is designed not only to encourage those of us that are saved and to teach the Bible with regard to some of the more not problems in the Bible, but it's designed to challenge us as to whether we're really ready to meet God. For those of you who would like to contact me, go to my website, bdcministries.com. You can use the email address or the postal address that's given there. This program can be listened to there. You can also download the program and pass it on to others. And there's testimonies, meditation that shows up usually once a week, sometimes every other week. There's questions and answers, testimonies, other information on that website, including a prophetic chart and a way to study the Bible and a manual for teaching or preaching the gospel. These things are all available, and they might be of some interest to you, and they might be a help to you. If you're interested, you can download most of everything that's on my website and then print it out if you want to. So this program can be then re-listened to on the website, and you can also reach me through the old-fashioned way, Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Now, as I said, this program may challenge you, and one of the reasons I'm concerned about challenging you is because last week, which will be a little over a week when you hear this program, I lost a sister to a tragic accident. She was a little younger than me, but she had had some eye problems and was in a home she did not normally go to visiting friends. And she was looking for the bathroom and opened the wrong door and ended up falling down basement stairs. And she ended up on a cement floor. And ultimately, she died. And the thing that gives me comfort is the fact that she had told us that she was depending on the Lord. She was not depending on what she had done in order to get to heaven, but as I understand her, she was depending on the truth that Christ has died for the ungodly. She was depending on the truth that he that believeth on him, that is on the Lord, is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. She was depending on the fact that God tells us in his word that if we trust in the sacrificial death of the Lord Jesus, we can avoid hell and be ready for heaven when we die. And we don't know when that's going to happen. This was a tragedy that happened in my own family, and it's something that's being hard for me to process. But yet, what would life be like if I thought she had gone out into eternity without faith in the one who loved her enough to give his life for her so that she could be in heaven? So this is important to me today, and it's important to me as I preach the gospel on this program that you understand that I'm not preaching it because in any way those of us who preach are better than those who are listening, but we're trying to be faithful to the Word of God. We've got a great message. We've got good news. And we want you to understand that that good news is bad news if you're trying to get to heaven in any way other than by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have faith in the Lord Jesus when we have faith in his promises in the Bible. And so we've been studying through different ways that the Lord has presented to us in the Bible. And for those of us who are saved, our theme has sort of been Song of Solomon chapter 5 verse 16, where it says, "He is altogether lovely, yea, this is my beloved, and this is my friend." And that's an Old Testament statement, poem, having to do with a bride looking at her bridegroom and feeling that he was the best thing since green apples, that he was head and shoulders above anybody else, and that he was, yea, altogether lovely. And I don't think anybody can really say that unless they're really in love with the person that they are referring to. And while this is an Old Testament picture, literal picture between a bride and the bridegroom, it is a a poetic picture of the relationship between Christ and those who believe in him, which are called the bride in the New Testament. And so if you're a part of that bride, you've trusted in the Lord Jesus. You've turned away from all of the things that you thought would save and have turned to the Lord and had your attention drawn to the fact that only trusting in him saves for eternity. And when you find out that he died for you, you'll be able to say, yay, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend. And so we're looking at the different ways the Lord is presented, and we've noted that really as you go through the Bible, it's a progressive revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, he's coming, and in the New Testament, he came, and he's coming again. In the Old Testament, he's first presented to us as creator, and then there are different ways that he is presented to us, but ultimately he becomes Jehovah, or the ever-existing one. But today, I want to look at Psalm 23, and then three scriptures in the New Testament having to do with the Lord as a shepherd. And I really enjoy that because we often think of the Lord as being an austere judge. We think of all the things he could criticize us for and judge us for. But when we look at the Lord as a shepherd, we realize that the shepherd loves his sheep. And the sheep know the voice of the shepherd. And we can say like David in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That means the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. He blesses. And David probably wrote that psalm after he had defeated Goliath in the valley of Elah. The Israelites are on one side of the valley, and the Philistines were on the other side of the valley, and Goliath, that giant, was coming down between them and taunting the children of Israel. And basically, he was defying the armies of the living God. And David had been a shepherd, and he had left his sheep with a keeper to go and see his brothers who were fighting in that battle. But they weren't really fighting. They were waiting to fight because of this taunting that the Philistine Goliath was doing to the children of Israel. They were afraid to fight. Saul was their king, and Saul was afraid to go out against this Philistine. And it was obvious that when the battle was engaged with the Philistine, then the battle would be engaged with the army of the Philistines. And so there's a valley, and David realizes that this man is taunting the armies of the living God, and he defends God's name, and he takes a sling and five stones and goes out to meet Goliath, just a shepherd boy who had left his sheep. And of course, you know the story. He was able to sling a stone and hit Goliath in the only place probably where he was vulnerable, and that was in his forehead, where the armor he was wearing did not protect him. And David slew the Philistines. He took five stones, and likely he took five stones because there were four other giants that might have entered into the battle once the Philistine was slain. And David was not afraid of them either. It wasn't that he took five stones because he expected to miss. He had five stones because he was willing to take on the other four as well, in my opinion. And you have to put some scriptures together to get there. But I believe that was why he had five smooth stones. But one was all it took because God was in it. And then he says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And I think he's referring to that valley of Elah where he met Goliath and where he knew the Lord was with him, had every confidence that the Lord was with him. And I'm going to tell you today that it's a whole lot better to know that the Lord is with you than to believe that he's against you. And as David goes down through that psalm, he mentions all the blessings that he has because of the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul, and so on. He says, my cup runs over, and ends up that psalm after saying that he prepares a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. A table is a place of fellowship, and his fellowship was with the Lord in the presence of his enemies. Then he says, surely Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And that's a nice thing to know, that goodness and mercy follows you all the days of your life, and to know that you'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And I'm going to spiritualize that and believe that as a Christian, we do know that we'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever, based on John 14, where the Lord says, "In my Father's house are many places of abode, or there are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go away, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Friend, these are the blessings of a Christian. If you haven't ever trusted in the Lord, if you've never turned from your sin, you can't really honestly take these blessings as your own. But these blessings are available to those who understand that even in the dark valley, the Lord is with them. And in the New Testament, we have the Lord presented as the Good Shepherd who gives his life for the sheep. That's John 10, verses 11 and 12. "I am the Good Shepherd who gives his life for the sheep." He's not a hireling. He's one who takes care of the sheep and loves the sheep. And we know that if one goes astray, he'll go looking for it and try to bring it back to the fold. And then that's what he does for sinners. He looks for them and tries to encourage them to take advantage of his sacrificial death at the cross so that they can be with him in heaven, because the option is not very good. If we reject Christ, that's the one unforgivable sin that will take us to a place that the Bible calls hell and the lake of fire throughout the endless ages of eternity. And anyone who goes there will have to blame themselves, because the Lord is here today offering himself as the Good Shepherd who gives his life for the sheep. He's also the Great Shepherd. We read about that in Hebrews chapter 13, where he says, "Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will." Once we find out that he's the Good Shepherd that has given his life for the sheep, then he'll be our Great Shepherd, and we'll want to do those things that really please him and please the Father. And we find out in 1 Peter 5, verse 4, he's also the chief shepherd, and this has to do with his coming again. "When the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away." And for those of us that are saved, we're looking for him to come again, and we pray that it might be soon, that we might see that the Lord might descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and that we might be removed from this sinful world. But our God does offer us salvation today. And my sister took a step that she shouldn't have taken. And David said, "There's but a step between me and death." And my sister found that out. And friend, we don't know what today may bring forth. We need to be prepared for the day when the Lord calls us into his presence. Now, our Heavenly Father, we pray for thy blessing upon these few thoughts. We trust that they've been loving and kind and understandable, and we pray for any that might not know the Savior in our audience, as we give thanks in our Savior's name. Amen.